I am continuing this morning a series entitled The Essentials. I've been talking about it all of January, and as I just said previously, I'm going to be finishing this series next week. And next week, I'm going to be preaching about the essential of, of faith. So next week, I'm going to finish this series on the essentials, and we're going to finish with faith. But this morning, I want to talk about generosity. One of the essentials that I feel like is very, very, very missing from the life of a lot of believers is a life of generosity. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I think a lot of the reason is because we have gotten the concept of generosity topside down. We've misunderstood it. We've misapplied it. And that's what I want to talk about and look at for a few minutes this morning. Excuse me. I just read it when we took up the offering just a second ago, but I want to read it again. So turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. What we just read a few moments ago. Hebrews 13 and 15. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this: "Therefore, by God, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Verse 16, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments that you will speak to us. Help us, God, all of us, to become more generous, to live lives of generosity. We are constantly looking for opportunities to help others. We love you, Jesus, and it is in your name we pray. Amen. Our oldest son, Mark, just turned 18. He is a senior in high school this year, and it will be February tomorrow. And I just got an email from the school this week that said, hey, cap and gowns need to be ordered, and graduation announcements need to be sent, and the whole thing. And it was crazy. It just was, like, weird. And for those of you that are older than me that have had kids graduate before, that have had kids get older and get married and all those life events that you see your children go through, it is a very odd kind of a situation. It was like, wow, I can't believe that this little baby is 18 and about to graduate from high school. It was a bizarre concept to me. And I was thinking then about all that in preparation for this message. And I was thinking about every year all the graduation announcements that I get. And as much as possible, whenever we get a graduation announcement, I like to mail the kids back a check. Not anything extravagant, but they did a good job. They graduated from high school. I'm proud of them. I like to mail them a little something and say, hey, send them a note and a card and say, hey, great job. Here's something to bless you as you move forward into adulthood. So I always like to do that. But the reason I do it is not really because I'm friends with those kids. I mean, I'm friends with their parents. Their parents is who I'm friends with. So when Barry and Stephanie send me a graduation announcement and say, hey, Garrison is graduating. That's a real family, by the way. I'm not making names up. They say, hey, Garrison is graduating. This is a guy that I served on staff with at a church in Oklahoma. Last year, they sent me a graduation notice, said, Garrison's graduating. I said, great. And I sent Garrison a card and a little note and a check. Why? Not because I'm great friends with Garrison. He's 18. We haven't really hung out that much. The reason I sent it to him is not the relationship I have with the child. The reason that I sent the check is because of the relationship I have with the father, with the mother. The relationship that I have with the parents is the reason that I sent the check to the child. That is ultimately the concept of a life of authentic generosity. It is not about my relationship with any of you. The reason that we're generous is because of our relationship with God. It's not about your, because here's the deal. People disappoint you. People frustrate you. People irritate you. And you say, I'm not going to help them anymore. And that is not the reason that we're generous. The reason that we're generous is because of this relationship upwards, our relationship with God. Because people are always going to mess up. People are always going to disappoint us. People are always going to discourage us. And when we allow their poor actions and attitudes to affect how we live our lives is when it all gets screwed up. See, everybody wants to help people that are grateful. But not everybody's grateful. But that doesn't allow us to not help them. All right, so that's what I want to talk about. Is the idea of authentic, genuine generosity. And my proposal, my theory, my sort of where I'm working from, is that while you can be generous and not have a relationship with God, you cannot have authentic, genuine, biblical generosity outside of a relationship with God. That there may be people in the world that are reprobates, but also billionaires, and give millions of dollars away. I'm not saying that giving those millions of dollars away to help people is bad. What I'm saying is that they still have not encountered authentic biblical generosity because they don't have a relationship with God. And authentic generosity cannot happen without the covering of the relationship with God. So if you will, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. That's in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And verse 12. Excuse me. 2 Samuel 6 and 12. This is the story of King David. He's become king and he's returning the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant. 2 Samuel 6 and 12. Now it was told to King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belonged to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David, that is Jerusalem, with gladness. So it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that David sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. It means that David took all his clothes off. A linen ephod is like an undergarment. So basically, David's so excited that he tears all his clothes off and dances in his underwear. All right? That's what's happening. Okay? I just want everybody to understand the scene. David's so excited. He's so worshipful. He's so thrilled that the Ark of the Lord is returning to Jerusalem, that in his excitement and worshipful state, he tears all his clothes off and dances in his underwear. Verse 15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, she's also David's wife, Michal, David's wife, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Verse 17. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of those base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Let's just stop right there. Here's the first thing. The worship of God is necessary for authentic generosity. The worship of God is necessary for authentic generosity. You cannot really encounter authentic generosity if you are not willing to dance before the Lord and worship Him. Worship Him. That's David didn't care what he looked like. We're going to read the rest of this in just a minute, but David didn't care what he looked like. All he cared about was worshiping God. And because he didn't care about appearances, he was willing to be generous. I want you to think about what we just read. It said in verse 13, and when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen. Now, I don't know if that means every 6 paces, but let's say that it does. Now, imagine that. They pick up the ark of the covenant. One, two, three, four, five, six. And he makes a sacrifice. We were just over there. That's how excited David is. And he makes a sacrifice. And they take six more paces, and he makes a sacrifice again. And six more paces, and he makes a sacrifice again. All the way to Jerusalem. Then when he gets to Jerusalem, he's built not the tabernacle, but he's built a place to house the Ark of the Covenant. They put it in there. They offer more sacrifices. And then because David is so worshipful, he's so grateful to God for everything that God has done for him, he decides to give every man and woman in Israel a present. Look at this. Then he says, in verse 19, then David distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Bread, meat, and dessert. Everybody in Israel. David so worshiped and loved God that he was willing to bankrupt the national treasury in order to show everyone how much he loved God. He wasn't trying to impress them with his generosity. He wasn't trying to say, look what I'm doing. Look how wonderful I am. Look at how much money I've given away. That was a byproduct of his authentic worship of God. We are never going to be able to live a life of generosity if we cannot worship God with abandon. And that means being willing for other people to ridicule us about our life of worship. People come to me often, sometimes, and ask me, well, you know, I've got this person in my life. Should I help this person? Should I do this? Should I do that? I feel like God's telling me I should give this person this or that. Listen, I never, ever, ever tell those people no. They shouldn't do it. If you're sitting at a red light and you see a guy and it says homeless, need help, and you feel like God tells you, you give that guy $100. You got a $100 bill in your wallet. The story may not be applicable for everybody in here. I don't have a $100 bill in my wallet, but if you do, you have a $100 bill in your wallet, and God says to you, give that guy $100. You should. If you feel like that's what God told you, you should do it. Because it's not about the money. It's not about the amount. It's about the attitude of worship behind the generosity. David was so excited that he took all his clothes off and danced before the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's what we've got to get to, is an attitude of worship. Please don't take all your clothes off and dance before the Lord this morning. But I would love to see you be so generous that's the essence of authentic generosity. If you do not really, truly, honestly worship God, you're never, ever really going to be able to tap into a spirit of generosity, a spirit of willingness to give. Because when David didn't care what anybody thought or said, all David wanted to do was worship God. Look, if you will, back at verse 21, 2 Samuel 6 and 21. We won't read it, but verse 20. David has given everybody in the nation something. Then David returns, it says at the beginning of verse 20, then David returns to bless his household. Then David returned to bless his household. His wife could have asked for anything. His wife could have asked for anything. David wanted to bless people. He was so full of worship for God, he wanted to be generous. And then 21, she says to him, we said that, oh, how glorious you were. She's being sarcastic. You can almost hear the sarcasm. How glorious it was that you took all your clothes off and danced before the women of the nation. 21, so David says to Michal, it was before the Lord. It was before the Lord. It was before the Lord. It was not about helping everybody else. It wasn't about giving food and raisins and meat and a loaf of bread to everybody in the nation. It wasn't about me doing any of that. The reason that I danced was because it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this. Listen to me. Worship God. And in worshiping God, you will access authentic generosity. I promise you that David did not start that day thinking, I'm going to give everybody in my nation bread, meat, and raisins. David started that day by saying, I am going to worship God. But when he authentically worshiped God, he was able to access genuine generosity. You want to be more generous, you want to be willing to give, you want to be willing to help, you must be willing to worship. When we worship, it allows that spiritual part of us to open up, and we are able to access generosity for the people around us. Now, the second thing is this. Look at Mark chapter 12. This is from the life of David. Jesus. What we read was from the life of David before. Mark chapter 12 and verse 38. Mark 12 and 38. Jesus is teaching here. And he says this, then Jesus said to them in his teaching, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' homes and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw the people who put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. A mite was the smallest denomination of money that there was at that time. Basically, it's worth a fraction of a penny. So it's not even a penny. It's worth 0.0003% of a penny. It's a tiny denomination of money. And she throws in two of those. Verse 43. So Jesus called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. The second thing, the second key to authentic generosity is obedience to God. Obedience to God is necessary for authentic generosity. Now, here's the deal. Worshiping God is easy and fun, and you get excited, and we worship, and God speaks to you in worship and says, you should help that person, or you should help this person. And that is great. But this one, obedience to God, is where the rubber hits the road, because it's easy to hear. It's a lot harder to obey. It's easy to hear. It's a lot harder to obey. When God speaks to this widow and says, put in these two little coins, that's all she has. That's everything. That's the entire amount of money that she has, and she throws that in. When you hear that from God, that is radically different. That is radically different. That kind of obedience takes time. But if you want to live a life of genuine generosity, you must be willing to obey what God is saying to you. Now, that is different for every single person. So I'm not telling you what you've heard. This is where guys on TV frustrate me, because what I'm not saying is that if you mail me $100, I'll mail you back a handkerchief that I cried on and God will heal all your problems, right? Listen to me. That's not obedience to God. That's me trying to buy another jet, okay? That's not obedience to God. See, I don't get to tell you what you should do. You understand? That's not how obedience works. So if I was trying to manipulate this, what I would say is, you must give this and then you will be generous. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you need to hear from God and then you must be willing to walk that out. You have to be willing to walk that out. I am helping coach both my kids' basketball teams right now. Mark plays varsity, Owen plays JV. I'm the assistant coach for both. The head coaches are both young guys in their 20s. And they are both screamers. I used to scream when I was in my 20s, and then I got old and realized it doesn't help anybody, and all it does is give you a stroke. So I don't scream anymore about basketball, because it's not worth it. But these guys are screamers. And so the one guy, the JV coach, he screams all the time. It's hilarious. I always tell him, you are going to die right here on the bench if you don't calm down. So he yells all the time. So they're out on the court, and he'll yell at one of them. And he'll say, you know, Owen or whoever, Tanner! He goes, Tanner, do this on defense. And the kid will go, I know, coach, I know. And he goes, if you know, do it. If you know, do it. And so I always tell the boys, don't say I know, say yes, sir. That's all you need to do is say yes, sir. Don't say I know. But I imagine that some of that is what God does. God's like, Travis, do that. And I'm like, I know, God, I know. And he's like, then do it, right? Then do it. So I don't know what God is saying to you. I don't know what your obedience looks like. I don't know what your life of generosity looks like. But once you've heard from God, do it. That's where it's more difficult, because it's not a, there's not like a magic formula here. You want to live a life of authentic generosity. When God tells you to do something, do it. Whatever that looks like. Now I'm gonna tell you a story about something that happened here. He's upstairs today. But about a month ago, right after Christmas, a couple showed up after church, hanging around, and they were asking if we could help them financially. Well, Chris is the outreach pastor, so I make him deal with all those kind of requests. So they came in, we're asking different, I talked to him for a while, and I said, okay, why don't you go talk to Pastor Chris? So they talked to Chris, and he took him in the office, talked to him for a while, and then they left. So I asked him afterwards, I was like, well, Chris, what did you do? Because we don't really have money here at the church. We don't have much to give them, especially on a Sunday. So I asked Chris, I said, Chris, what did you do for those people? And he said, well, I was talking to them, and he said, I didn't feel like they were telling me the truth. He said, I felt like they were giving me a line, and they were just going around from church to church. He said, I felt like they weren't being authentic. I'll be honest, I thought they were kind of lying to me. And I said, oh, okay, so did you just tell them we can't help you? He said, oh, no, I gave them $100. I was like, Chris. Beverly wasn't happy about that either. I was like, Chris, you knew they were lying. He goes, yep, I felt pretty sure that they were lying to me. I was like, all right, let's go through this one more time. You knew they were lying to you, and yet you gave them $100. He was like, yes. I said, why? He said, I felt like God told me to give them $100. That's what authentic generosity looks like. Because listen to me, it's not about your relationship with those people that he knew they were lying to him. If you make generosity about the relationship vertically, you miss out on authentic generosity. Once you have heard horizontally what God wants to tell, once God tells you something, do it. Even if it means pouring into the lives of people that probably don't deserve it and aren't worthy of it. I wanted to tell Chris, there's like 1,000 other things we could have done with that $100. But that's not the point. The point is that he heard from God and God told him to do that. As much as he could hear from God, God said do that. That's what authentic generosity looks like. It's not about the needs or the worthiness of someone else. It is about your relationship with God. Are we willing to step out in faith and obey? You hear through worship, and then you obey. So you worship God, as David did, and then God says, I want you to do this. And then, like the widow, like Chris, like so many of the rest of us, the next step is obedience. Are you willing to step out and help people that you know probably don't need or deserve your help? But we don't get to decide what generosity looks like. All we get to do is walk out what God tells us to do. It's about obedience. And if you can really obey God, then you can really encounter generosity. Now, the final thing is this, John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 15. This again is from the life of Jesus. This is the final thing that Jesus, this is the final encounter that Jesus has with his disciples that's recorded in the book of John. Before Jesus departs into heaven, this is the final encounter between Jesus and his disciples that's recorded in John. John 21 and 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because Jesus had said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know all things. you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. We must worship God to have authentic generosity. We must obey God for authentic generosity. The final thing is this, we must love God. Love for God is necessary for authentic generosity. It's fascinating, this encounter in those couple of verses that I just read. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes. And then in the natural, it seems like Jesus would say to him, then do this to worship me. Do this for me. It feels like Jesus would be telling Peter, if you love me, right? I tell Courtney, I love you so much that I bought flowers for Carol Sparks. Isn't that nice of me? Right? That's kind of weird. And Mr. Sparks would probably think that's weird. Right? Right? In the same way, that's what you, I don't buy flowers for somebody else's wife and tell Courtney, that proves how much I love you. But this is exactly what Jesus says. Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. And it makes sense then that Jesus would say, then worship me, then pray to me, then have a relationship with me. And we need to do all of those things. But in this, Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, then go and help all of those people. Jesus says, you don't show me that you love me by helping me. You show me you love me by helping them. If you want to have authentic generosity in your life, you must love God. And in loving God, that means loving all those people. Jesus says three times, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. What word does he not use? Love, right? Because Jesus knows that's really hard. Jesus knows that's really hard because a bunch of sheep don't want to be tended to. A bunch of sheep don't want to be fed. A bunch of sheep don't want to listen to what you're saying. They don't want to go where you're telling them to go. They don't want to do what you're telling them to do. A bunch of people are unlovable, so it makes it difficult for us to love them. They don't want our help. They don't want our anything. So Jesus doesn't fool himself. He doesn't say, love my sheep. He says, meet their needs. Do tangible things for the sheep. Tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus says, you want to love me? Help, tend, feed others. Feed others. We must be willing to love the unlovable. We must be willing to help the people that don't want our help. It's a difficult thing to grasp. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I completely have it. Because wouldn't you much rather help people that say thank you? Right? I mean, that's the story of the 10 lepers. Remember, Jesus heals 10 different people with leprosy? And how many come back? One, right? That makes me think, I don't want to heal anybody with leprosy anymore. Right? That's our humanity. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, you love me. Peter says, Jesus, you know that I love you. He says, okay, help all those other people. Help all those other people. The concept of generosity is a race to outgive ourselves. That's what generosity boils down to, is a contest with ourselves to outgive ourselves, to give more than we can, not because we have to love everybody, but because we love Jesus. We love him, so we're willing to help them. What happens is we say we love him, so we want to continue to praise him. Jesus says, that's not it. You love me, help them. Love me, feed them. Love me, tend them. Love me, help them. That's what authentic generosity looks like. Let me close with this little story. In the early 1960s. The coolest guys in the universe were a group of actors and singers named the Rat Pack. It consisted of guys like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Joey Bishop, Peter Lawford, wore tuxedos all the time as far as I can tell. I never see a picture of them without a tuxedo on. Wore tuxedos at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Always had a drink in their hand. Mostly hung out in Las Vegas, sing at casinos. They were the coolest guys in the world. And they were known as the Rat Pack. Well, I heard a fascinating story about Frank Sinatra that happened during that time. They said that Frank Sinatra had gone out to dinner at a restaurant in Las Vegas. And he was with a whatever girlfriend he had at the time. Him and the girlfriend went out and had a wonderful dinner at this restaurant in Las Vegas. Then they came back and they went to the valet and gave the valet the ticket. The kid brings the car around, gives the keys to Frank Sinatra. He says, "Here's your keys, Mr. Sinatra." Frank says, "Thanks." He pulls out his wallet and he says, "Kid, let me ask you something. What's the biggest tip you ever got? Valeting cars. What's the biggest tip you ever got?" He says, "The biggest tip I ever got was $50. Frank Sinatra opens his wallet, pulls out a $100 bill, and hands it to the valet. He says, "There you go, kid." He gets in his car, closes the door. He turns back and looks at the kid, and he says, "Hey, tell me something. What's the name of the bum that only gave you $50? And the kid says, "That was you, Mr. Sinatra, the last time you were here." That is the essence of generosity. It's a race to outgive ourselves. It's not about what the people around us do or say. If we force everybody into a box before we're generous with them, we miss the essence of generosity. You say, "Well, you've got to have this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to complete this paperwork, and you have to have this documentation. You have to do all these things, and you have to live a certain way, and act a certain way, and talk a certain way, and smell a certain way, and all these things before we're going to help you." And that's it. Not what Jesus says. Jesus says, "You love me, help them." But they don't have to look a certain way. They don't have to act a certain way. "You love me, Peter?" And Peter says, "Jesus, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." He puts no caveats on it whatsoever. He doesn't say, "Feed the sheep that you want to feed. Feed the sheep that don't lie to you. Feed the sheep that don't disappoint you. Feed the sheep that do this, or feed the sheep that don't do that." Jesus simply says, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "You know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Take care of all of them." Generosity is a race to outgive ourselves by giving to the people that deserve it the least. True, authentic, biblical generosity is when we give to the people that deserve it the least. Like Pastor Chris and those folks that came up here, he knew they didn't deserve it, but God spoke to him and he obeyed. And that is what biblical generosity looks like. Jesus says to me and to you and to all of us, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" We say, "God, you know that we love you." And Jesus says, "Go out those doors and help somebody. Do you love me? Help them. Feed them. Take care of them." That's what generosity looks like. Let's pray. God, I thank you. We praise you for this time together. We praise you for the opportunity to gather here and to hear from you. God, we do love you. Each and every one of us, we love you, God. Help us to never lose sight of what real generosity looks like. Authentic generosity is not about only focusing on you. Yes, we love you. Yes, we need to pray to you. Yes, we need to have a relationship with you. Yes, we need to obey you and serve you. Yes, we need to do all those things. But if we love you, we must feed your sheep. God, help us to be generous. Help us to show your love.